Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, March 21st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino. Let's get right to the headlines. So a member of the Broadway community has passed on. Sean Elliott has. And Matt, tell us about that.
Yeah, Sean Elliott is passed away at the age of 79. He was a lifetime member of the Actors Studio, and he was in the original production of Jacques Brel Is Alive and Well and Living in Paris, and in Broadway's City of Angels and Marie Christine, and performed in countless off-Broadway and regional shows, as well as being a fixture on TV and in film. He was born in Puerto Rico and was awarded the 2001 Rita Moreno Award for Excellence by the Hispanic Organization of Latin Artists. He is survived by his wife of over 25 years, Tony Winter, Donna Murphy. He had three daughters, five grandchildren, and a great-granddaughter, and our thoughts go out to Donna and all the people that loved and knew Sean. It's one of those things that we hear people dying in the theater community all the time, and it's really kind of nice to see everybody galvanize around their loved ones. But if you are familiar with Sean's work or maybe even that of his wife, say a little prayer for him tonight if you're so inclined.
Absolutely. So let's move on to Pop Culture Happy Hour. NPR's podcast did a review of Hamilton for people reviewing from the outside of the theater community that don't normally review Broadway. So tell us about this and why we should go listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this is first off, you should listen to Pop Culture Happy Hour all the time because it's a really, really smart take on a smart approach to some of the biggest stories and shows and films in pop culture. But specifically this episode, they took a group of NPR writers that write about pop culture, about music, about books, and went and saw Hamilton because it really is just this big phenomenon that crosses all spectrums of fandoms. And even though a lot of the people involved in this show aren't necessarily what they could consider theater people, they had become kind of obsessed with it, just like a lot of the theater folks have. And they went earlier this month and then talked about the show which is something they don't often do, for the entire hour that was released on Friday. And it was really interesting to see that people who might not be obsessed with the minutia of theater, like James, like you and I are, or a lot of our listeners are, really kind of come to a lot of the same conclusions that we did about that. Not only is it something that's very different and very revolutionary from what we normally see on Broadway, but it also has a lot of the same connective tissue to some of the musicals of the past, and that even though we think of it as this rap hip-hop show that's really revolutionizing things, it's really not all that different from some things in the past. And they make connections to Gilbert and Sullivan and Cole Porter. And they, one thing that I know, James, you really liked was that they put some side-by-side comparisons to some of the references that Lin-Manuel Miranda made in writing the score, whether that was to musical theater stuff, specifically the Nobody Needs to Know reference from the last 5 years. But then they also do the same thing with some of the hip-hop stuff as well. So it was a really cool look at a Broadway phenomenon from people who aren't necessarily Broadway diehards. And like I said, it's a show that on a normal week is great to listen to, but if you're a theater fan, this is a must listen over the course of the next few days.
We'll have a link to Pop Culture Happy Hour in this specific show, so you can take a listen to it on our show page at todayonbroadway.com. So take a listen to that if this is interesting to you. Semi-related to this is the changing of America and the demographics. We see that America is becoming less white, and Broadway is still a tremendously white audience, but with shows like Hamilton and Eclipsed in Hamilton coming along, American Theater Magazine has got an interesting feature by John McWhorter about it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What John McWhorter says in this article is that he posits whether or not rap, obviously inspired by the success of Hamilton, is poised to become Broadway's next jazz music, and how jazz has really been the, you know, one of the signature sounds of Broadway in one form or another for, I mean, heck, approaching a century. And he says, given that hip-hop has been the mainstream for young Americans of all colors for at least 20 years, isn't this when we would expect Broadway music to come in for its next injection of, as it were, and this is his words, flavor, and evolve into a whole new direction? It's really interesting because, you know, these things are very much behind the times. It's not like you would expect as soon as Run DMC becomes popular in mainstream culture that Broadway is going to pick it up right away. But we have seen an influence of rap, not only from Lin-Manuel Miranda, but with the Tupac musical,
Holler if you hear me.
Holler if you hear me. A few years ago, even though it wasn't successful on Broadway and closed really quickly, you are seeing it become more acceptable to kind of branch out into these other forms of music that we don't see. And so it's, you know, I don't know that I have any expectations that rap will take over Broadway in the near future, but it's a really thought-provoking article that it could be one of those things that happens slowly over the next few years, just as, you know, rock music has kind of become the one of the, you know, the dominant forms of musical theater storytelling over the past four decades, going back even to, you know, things like Jesus Christ Superstar, but now coming all the way up through, you know, something like American Idiot, to where it's become as much a part of the norm as a Rodgers and Hammerstein show tune.
So we'll have a link to the American Theater article by John McWhorter as well in the show notes of Today on Broadway. There's another article we wanted to point out from HowlRound, which is a theatrical insider's website that's written by creators of theater. And they talk about, again, the changing demographics in America and the role of Latinos and Latina adoption of teaching classical theater. So just give us a few seconds on that.
Yeah, it's part of Carla De La Gatta's Pedagogy Notebook, which is a monthly blog she writes. She's a theater professor at USC, and she goes into a little bit about how she teaches a classics class at USC and integrates Latino and Latina theater into her teaching. It's one of those things, again, that as the country's demographics change, will theater's demographics change. Obviously, we're seeing a little bit of that in this season on stage on Broadway, but when will that affect, you know, the people who are sitting in the audience? And that's actually something that Pop Culture Happy Hour discusses, where Gene Demby, who is one of the contributors for Pop Culture Happy Hour, went to the show and felt like he was the only black person in the audience, you know, looking at a stage full of people of color. So it's really interesting to kind of put that rap article from American Theater in with this article from HowlRound and kind of look at how theater is changing both on stage and off. So I would definitely recommend both of those. And I think, James, you said we'll have links to both.
Absolutely. And they'll be in the show notes. And this coming from two white guys, that we need to really diversify our podcast as well. We recognize that. What's coming up in the openings this week?
Yeah, we've got something, a pretty big week. And I imagine, James, this section, as we move forward over the next few weeks, this section of openings, yes, this will probably take up most of the podcast moving forward on a daily basis. But the North American premiere of UK playwright Lucy Prebble's new play, The Effect, opened last night at the Barrow Street Theater. It's directed by David Cromer, and the show centers on an antidepressant clinical study, and then two of the volunteers in the study suddenly begin an illicit affair, and the doctors have to examine the ethical consequences of what they're doing in their work. It is a limited engagement running through June 19th, and Lucy Prebble's is one of England's rising playwrights, and David Cromer is a long been regarded as one of the most inventive directors. So this is definitely one you want to head down to Barrow Street to see. Then on Tuesday, the Public Theater's Dry Powder opens off Broadway, and it has, and James, we were talking about this before we started recording, a really incredible cast featuring Claire Danes, John Krasinski, Hank Azaria, and Sanjit De Silva. Claire Danes and Hank Azaria, I know, have theater background. I don't know if John Krasinski has much of a theater background, but all three of them are known more for TV and film. So it'll be cool to be able to see them on stage. The play is written by Sarah Burgess and is directed by, again, Hamilton is everywhere, is directed by Tommy Kail, and focuses on the deeds and misdeeds of a private equity firm. It runs at the Publix Martinson Hall through May 1st. And then again, later this week on Thursday, Steve Martin and Edie Brickell's musical Bright Star opens at the Court Theater on Broadway. It stars Paul Alexander Nolan, Carmen Cusack, Dee Hody, and Emily Padgett, and is a sweeping tale of love and redemption set against the rich backdrop of the American South in the 1920s and 1940s. So this is one that I'm sure will hear more about maybe on this week on Broadway after James, you hear it and Peter and Michael see it. So keep that one on your schedule. And from social media, a lot of people who've gone and see it said they were surprisingly moved by not only the music by Steve Martin, Edie Brickell, but the story as a whole. They were really kind of taken by it. So hopefully this one does well when it opens on Thursday.
All right. Coming up in our casting section, what do we have?
Well, in terms of actual casting, the leads of Aladdin have announced that they will be extending their contracts through February 19th of 2017 and for almost an entire 3-year run. That's Adam Jacobs, James Iglehart, Courtney Reed, and the rest of the principals. So that'll be exciting to go and see them for another year. And then this isn't really necessarily casting, but it's something that's really interesting. If you haven't heard, the SpongeBob musical will have its world premiere in Chicago this summer, and it's putting together a really impressive list of composers who will be contributing songs. Steven Tyler and Joe Perry from Aerosmith, Cyndi Lauper, John Legend, Lady Antebellum, Sarah Bareilles, David Bowie, and many, many more are contributing songs to this. So if you're in Chicago this summer, head over to the Oriental Theater and take a look at a show that is planning on eventually moving to Broadway.
All right, Matt, let's wrap it up for the today.
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. I'm Matt Tamanini. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And don't forget to subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayStars.com and Broadway Radio. And we thank you for taking a listen, and we will talk to you tomorrow.